Today's daf is Moed Katan Daf Chav Zayin. We are holding on Daf Chav Vav and Beis at Tanu Rabbanan about 8-9 lines before the end of the daf. Today we're going to, we're going to fall behind so that we'll leave enough to say on Tuesday when we have a very short daf. But first we're going to discuss a price that has four different halachos, additional halachos about Avelus that we have not yet seen. Then the majority of Daf Chav Zayin Amar Aleph is going to talk about Kfiya Samita, the details of Kfiya Samita, what the exceptions of when Kfiya Samita is Noheg, the idea of turning over the bed. We're going to have two opinions of what a Dargesh is. There's going to be some comment about Kfiya Samita and a Dargesh, two different Shitos about what that means, three versions of Akasha on the first Shita of what a Dargesh is. And then on the bottom of Amar Aleph, going over to Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to list through, or Brises really are going to list, eight different halachos that changed, or minhagim that changed, because we didn't want to embarrass somebody, and the way that they were knowing previously would have caused people embarrassment. Then the Gemara is going to talk about a hesped for a Talmud Chacham, and how one is allowed to do that even on Chol HaMoed. Then we're going to have three other halachos from Rabbi Yochanan, three from Rabbi Yehuda Merav about Avelus, and then at the very end of the daf, we're going to talk about what is the proper amount of mourning a person should have, that there is such a thing as being misabel yoser midai, a person being misabel more than necessary, more than is appropriate. So we're going to try to quantify the proper amount of avelus. So let us begin at Tanu Rabbanan. Tanu Rabbanan chol shemes lemes on chav vav amin beis. Tanu Rabbanan chol shemes lemes ein modin oso shemes shematitrof daito olav. If a person is a chola and a karov of his dies, we don't let him know that the person had died because we're afraid that it's going to cause him distress, and that's going to be bad for him in terms of his illness. The Ran writes, it sounds like if it was a bari shemes lemes, if there's a healthy person whose relative dies, that you have to let him know that his relative died, so that he shouldn't be over biadayim, the mitzvos of avelus. However, he says yesh dochen araya, may not be a raya from here, just because by a chola you're not allowed to let him know that necessarily by a bari that you have to let him know. It could be that by a bari you don't have to let him know, but by a chola it's usur to let him know. By a bari you have the right, you could let him know if you want to, you don't have to if you don't want to. Nevertheless, the Ran says it's ro'i lahodio in order that he shouldn't be nichshal in an isur. Interestingly, in Shulchan Aruch we don't pass in that way. In Shulchan Aruch and Siman Tav Beis, Sif Yud Beis, Shulchan Aruch says there's no chiyuv whatsoever to be modia a bari when someone dies, when a relative of his dies, and even if it's aviv imo. And not only that, you're even allowed to invite him to a wedding, you're allowed to invite him to a simcha. Ah, isn't it lifnei yiver? Are you causing him to violate an isser, to violate his avelus? No, the avelus is only when he knows about it. It's not that he's an avel and he doesn't know about it. He's not an avel unless he knows about it, and therefore it's not even a violation of lifnei yiver to invite him. The Gilyan Rashov there says that even on the Yom Misu Kvura, where could be that the avelus is d'oraisa, it could be that you don't even have to let him know, that it's not just because of avelus is d'rabbanan. But if he asks, you're still not allowed to lie. It's not a heter to lie. If he asks, is this person dead? You do have to tell him. Shulchan Aruch says, the Taz says, you should say it in a lashon hamishtamel l'shnei panim. You should say it in a way that he could, that like the Gemara says, where they asked, Abba Kayim, Ima Kayemes, why don't you ask me if Ima's alive? Ima Kayem, Abba Kayemes. Say it in such a way that's not a direct delivering of the news. The Ein Makarin Befanav, the second halacha, well, it's all part of the same halacha, that when it's a chol shemes lemes, and you don't want the chola to realize, so you don't tear kriya in front of the chola. He's obviously going to realize if you're tearing kriya, what's going on? And also, you quiet the women down. If the women are crying and bawling and talking too much, so you quiet them down from in front of him, because you don't want the news to get out. You don't want him to realize what's happening. That is halacha number one of the brisa. Halacha number two, agmas nefesh. That in general, nothing to do with the chola now, separate halacha, for a child who loses a relative, we tear kriya for the child for the sake of agmas nefesh. So some of the Rishonim write that this din is only by a katan that's lo higiel l'chinuch. Machlokes Rishonim. What are we talking about? Are we talking about higiel l'chinuch or lo higiel l'chinuch? So a group of Rishonim say it's got to be talking about a katan shelo higiel l'chinuch, because it says it's only mipnei agmas nefesh, that it's not because of the mitzvah of chinuch. If we're higiel l'chinuch, you'd have to tear kriya for the sake of the mitzvah of chinuch. in order to be mechanichim properly. Other Rishonim say, no, it's dafka talking about a katan sheigia l'chinuch, and still only mipnei agmas nefesh with teren kriya, because there's no chinuch for avelus. You can't be mechanich someone, a katan for avelus. Why is there no chinuch for avelus? So different shitos in the achronim. Some suggest they were not mesakin chinuch for avelus, the chikrei lev writes, because the reason for chinuch is to be margilo b'mitzvos, is to get him used to doing mitzvos when he gets older. So if you're going to be mesakin chinuch for avelus, it's like a schalta de paranusa, it's a simin ra, you're telling him chas v'shalom that you want him to experience this again, that you want him to become an avil again when he gets older. So they were not mesakin chinuch. Others say similarly, they were not mechayiv chinuch by a katan unless it's something that is vaday going to experience as a gadol. We don't know for sure that he's going to experience this as a gadol. In fact, now that he lost this relative, he's got one less chance to experience it, as he's got less of a chance than a regular person would to experience it as a gadol. So it could be that's why they were never mesakin chinuch for a katan. Rav Salvechik in Shirei Arav and Hilchos Avelus says maybe there's a different reason why they were never misakin chinuch for a katan. He points out that there's no chinuch of mitzvah Avelus according to a group of Rishonim, because the ikar of Avelus is a kiyum shabalev. Most mitzvos, there's a maisa mitzvah, and that's the ikar of mitzvah. You take lulav, you put on tefillin, there's a maisa mitzvah. The ikar of Avelus is really a kiyum shabalev, that a person should have a sense of mourning in his heart. That's clear in the Mishnah Sanhedrin Daf Memvav, and a katan is a lav bar. So he doesn't know how to have a mature feeling of avelus. He may have anger, he may have other things, but a mature sense of avelus, he's not ready for that. So he could do all of the actions of avelus, but chinuch for avelus, the ikar avelus, is really the kiyum shabalev. So there's a kiyum shabalev of the mitzvah of simcha as well. And nevertheless, from mechanech hakatan in the mitzvah of simcha by simchas yamtuv, v'v'samachta b'chagecha atu v'incho v'itecha. So the Gemara in Pesachim says that chayav adam l'smech banav u'bnei beis u'beregel. It could be that the chiyuv of chinuch by the katan for simcha is not a chiyuv on the child; it's a chiyuv on the father. That the father has to be m'smech the child. You put smiles on all the faces around you, and you'll end up being happier also, that it's part of his kiyum of simcha. But enochinami, any emotional kiyum, anything that's primarily a kiyum shablev, maybe enochinami we don't have for a child. Next halacha, third halacha of the Braisa, v'korin alchamav v'alchamoso mipnei kvodishta. One has to tear kriya for a father-in-law or a mother-in-law that passes away in order to properly honor his wife. And number four, v'amarav papa tanabav rabasi avel lo yaniach tinok b'toch chika, probably one of the most often violated halachas in Hilchos Avelus. It's a mefurish in Shulchan Aruch, it's a mefurish in Gemara, it's a Braisa, well, Gemara, not a Braisa, no, avel rabasi, yeah, Braisa, that an avel is not allowed to put a child on his lap, because it's going to be mevili de schok, it's going to cause him to smile and to laugh. Children are cute, they say cute things, they do funny things, and that causes him to laugh. And it's going to cause other people to see it as something that's inappropriate. The Torah writes that an avil is asr b'simcha kol shloshim yom, but he only can't hold a baby during Shiva. Beis Yosef explains because the isra of holding a baby during Shiva is not asr all shloshim when the isra of simcha is. The Bach explains rather because it's not a vaday that it's going to be maybe l'day simcha. It's only a chashash. So out of a chashash, we're not going to aser kol shloshim, we're only going to aser for Shiva. Now the pashtus is, it's aser in any way that it's going to bring him l'day simcha. The Brein HaChanan lover holds that it's only aser b'fnei rabbim, that privately a person who's in avelus, a person who's sitting Shiva, is allowed to hold a baby. Because what does the Gemara emphasize over here? Not that it's maybe l'day schok, and the schok itself is a problem. It's maybe l'day schok, v'nimtza miskana ala brios. Sounds like the problem is the miskana ala brios element of it. That's the real problem, that other people are going to see that it's disrespectful to the niftar, that this is the way he's acting while he's sitting Shiva. But when it's private and it's not going to be an issue of miskana ala brios, then it's not going to be a problem. But again, this is one of the more often violated halachas of avelus. Very often the grandchildren come running in and they sit on the grandparents' laps when they're sitting Shiva. It's not appropriate, it's against the halacha. not supposed to, it's very hard to avoid, but it's against the halacha. Okay, Tanu Rabban, we have a brisa. Ha-holich le-beis ha-avel, I'm sorry, we said, vein rabban al mitos ha-kufos. You're not allowed to do the Suda Savra on upright beds. So Tanu Rabban, ha-holich le-beis ha-avel, if a person goes to a beis ha-avel, im hayo libo gaspo, yavru al mitos kufuyos. If they're very comfortable with each other, they like each other a lot, they're good friends, then he could be mavrim, he could give him the Suda Savra on mitos kufuyos, on upside down beds, because there's a mitzvah kufiyos ha-mita, you could leave it that way. Vim lav, but if they're not so comfortable with each other, so normally you have guests over and you're going to have a meal together, you're going to want it to be more respectful. You have Ra'al mitos kufos, so then you could keep the beds upright. Rava itra be milsa. Rava was in Avelus. Olegabe Abba Bar Marta do Abba Bar Menyume. Abba Bar Marta, who happens to be the same person as Abba Bar Menyume, came to visit him. Rava Zakif, Rava had the bed upright, Abba Bar Marta kafi, and Abba Bar Marta put the bed upside down. Meaning it's as if Rava was saying, I'm not really such good friends with you, so I'm going to keep the bed upright because it's not libo gaspe. And Abba Bar Marta didn't get the hint, and he said, oh, we're great friends. And he turned the bed upside down. Amar kamalespe daita lait sumer abanan. So Rava said how he didn't pick up the hint. He doesn't have any das. How does he not realize what I did? That I sat with Zekifa Samita, not with Kfiya Samita. Tan Rabbanan, new braisa, bottom line of Chavav and Beis. Tan Rabbanan, haholech mimakom lemakom, person traveling from one place to another, im yachol lema'it be'isko yema'it. If he's able to somehow minimize his business dealings, he should do so. Ve'im lav yigalgal imayin. If he can't, at least he should do it together with the chabura. Yigalgal imayin, Rashi points out, enos eschor b'fnei atzmo, elim chabura. He shouldn't do schor on his own, but he should do it together with the chabura. This is machlokes rishonim, what in the world this din is talking about. What does it mean? What's the Avil traveling for? During Shiva, he's running around from place to place doing business. So Machlokes Rishonim, what the Braisa means. Tulsa explains, talking about an Avil al Aviv Imo, where he is chayv to the Ma'it Ba'asakov, he's supposed to be Mimayit, the amount of business that he does, but since he's Bederech, and it's a Davra Aved, they were Matir to do normal business. So it turns out that being Bederech is a Kula, according to that interpretation. We're not talking about Betoch Shiva. Talking about Avil al Aviv Imo, where he's supposed to be Ma'it Ba'asakov, but Derech, we're going to be Mekel. Another interpretation, he says, that we're talking about an Avel al Sharkrovim, where he has no chiv whatsoever to be Ma'it B'Simcha. But since he's Bederech, and he's already distracted from his Avelus because he's traveling, so he doesn't feel that same sense of Avelus when he's not in his normal environment, because he doesn't, when you're in your normal environment, you notice what's missing from what you're used to. But when you're in a different environment and there's nothing that you're used to, so then you won't notice things that are missing as much, so he doesn't have the focus as much on his Avelus. That's sometimes people can't get over their avails. It's important they take a vacation. They just go away. They go somewhere else, and that helps them get their mind off things. So if he's traveling, he already has his mind off of the avails. So they were machmir on him more than they would be bebeso. And they say that even though normally you don't have to be memait basakov when you're in avil during shloshim, but here this person is traveling, he does have to be memait basakov. So it turns out being bederech is a chumrah, that it's not a kula. And the way Rishon Mansen Rashi is that we're talking about someone who became an Avel when he already was on the road. So since he wasn't Poshea by going out on the road, that's why they were Mekel. So different interpretations of what exactly this halacha is all about. Okay, second line, Tanu Rabbanan, Me'ema Saikofenes Hamitos. Going back to the discussion of Kfiya Samita, when do we do Kfiya Samita? Mishiyetzi B'Pesach Veso Divrei Rabbi Eliezer. It says as soon as they walk out of the doorway of the house, right? Meaning not they walk out of the doorway of the house, as soon as the mace leaves the doorway of the house. As soon as they take the mace out, that's when Kfiyas Hamita begins in the house. Rabbi Yeshua Omer, Mishi Yistamagolel. Rabbi Yeshua says that it's Mishi Yistamagolel, it's when we normally assume the Avelus begins, at the time of burial, when they close up the Golel, different Shittos and Rishonim, exactly what that is, but that's sometime during the funeral. Is Machlokes Rishonim, what does it mean when we ask, Me'emesai Kofenes Hamitos? What do you mean? Hilchos Avelus apply when Mishi Yistamagolel. So what kind of question? When do we start Kfiyas Samita? You start Kfiyas Samita when you start the rest of Avelus. So some of the Rishonim understand that the Gemara is asking about Avelus in general. Kfiyas Samita is just an example. And there are in fact two shitas about when Avelus starts. Does Avelus start when the mace is out of the house, or does Avelus start when Yistamagolal? However, others understand, no, the Machlokas is only, Karen Ora writes, Machlokas is only about Kfiyas Samita. That's what Rabbi Lazar says, once the mace is out of the house, you have to do Kfiyas Samita in the house. But on the other dinam of Avelus, rules. Even Rabbi Lazar is moda that since there are people that are together with the mace, it's kemutal lefneihem, and you're not knowing dinei avelus until you have yistamagolel. What's the reason that we're not noheg fias amita anymore? So we already saw in Tosos a couple of possibilities. Tosos earlier in the Masechta said that we don't do fias amita bismanenu either because it doesn't make sense in our beds. Our beds aren't turnoverable and still usable. It used to be that they would turn over the beds and it would be a little less comfortable, but they would still be able to use it. Or it also says that since where you live, Bein Agayim, and they're Nechnas and Vielzim Bateim, there are always non-Jews coming in and out of our house. We're afraid that they're going to say that we're practicing some sort of Kishuf, so because of that that danger, and Tulsa didn't make that up. That's based on Yerushalmi. The Yerushalmi says that Hadar Bepundak Ein Kofa Mitasav, that if you live in a place where there are Agayim, you live in a Pundak, in an inn where there are Agayim all the time, so you shouldn't do Kfiyas Amitas. So Tulsa says, so to all of us, it's Ki'ilu, we're Dar Bepundak. It's as if we live in a place where there are Agayim all the time, and therefore we don't do Kfiyas Amitas. But we don't do Kfiyas Amita in that sense. The Gemara is going to say that the purpose of Kfiyas Amita is the musti yukni nasati lam ba'avonosei mafachtia. It's that we destroy the Tzelem Elokim in a certain sense. So that's what we've pointed out. Some of the Achronim suggest that's maybe why we cover the mirrors, because it doesn't say anywhere in the Gemara you're supposed to cover mirrors, and yet that's universally accepted. People who do very little else in Avelos, they cover the mirrors. Maybe that's our kiyum of Kfiyas Amita, to minimize the Tzelem Elokim, that we won't see the Tzelem Elokim. Maisa Shemesh from Gamliel Zakin. One time when Rabbi Gamliel Zakin died, Kivin Shiatsim Pesach Pesa, Amr Lam Rabbi Lazar, Kfumito Sechem. As soon as they took the Nifter out, Rabbi Lazar instructed everyone they should do Kfiyas Amita. The Kivin Shinistam Agolel, once they did Nistam Agolel at the Levaya, Amr Lam Rabbi Shua, Kfumito Sechem. Rabbi Shua says, okay, now they should do Kfiyas Amita. So Amr Lo, they said, Kvar Kafinu Al Pi Zakin. Rabbi Lazar already told us we were supposed to do Kfiyas Amita before. It's already too late. We already did it. They're arguing about this Lashitasam. Tan Rabbanan, may Emma say Zok Vinas Amitos by Erev Shabbos. When do we pick up the beds on Erev Shabbos? So you see, apparently there is no din of Kfiyas Amita on Shabbos. We have the Gemara and Chav Gimel and Beis that discussed whether there's Avelos on Shabbos. So this was a Raya that Rishonim pointed out, Tosas pointed out, L'chora, this is a Raya that there's no Avelos on Shabbos. What's the Shita that's going to say there is Avelos by Shabbos going to do with this Braisa that says explicitly that there's Zokef the Mita before Shabbos? So either they say that Kfiyas Amita is a Tsar Gadol, and therefore, even though there's other types of avails on Shabbos, but not Kfiyas Amita because it's too intense of a tsar, or maybe when we say that there's Zokif the mitos on Shabbos, it means the other mitos in the house, because we're about to see that Kfiyas Amita is something they do on Kol HaMitos Shebabayis, not just on the avel's bed, but so the dinim of the base avel maybe don't apply, but the din of the avel himself may still apply. You have to say something like that. But at what point are we Zokif the mitos? Because we are Zokif the mitos, we do pick the beds back up. When do we do that? Min mincha l'mayla, from mincha time and on Erev Shabbos. Amar Rabba Barhuna afal pikein enu yoshev ala ad shetech shach. Even though we are zokef the mita at that point, still we're not allowed to be yoshev on it until it gets dark. Tosus writes in Dibra Maskel Min that we see from here that the that this is where the mina comes from, that we don't sit al kisei v'safsal. Even though you could be docha that a mita has a din b'kfiya, and therefore it's asr b'yeshiva, but it says that even once the mita is upright, still the aval doesn't sit on it. So you see that you don't sit on a regular chair during the time of avil. This person shouldn't sit on a regular seat during the time of Avelus. Now, the idea of the place of yeshiva sa'avel, where the avel should sit, is not mentioned in the Gemara at all. The sugya doesn't talk about it. The Tur writes that b'shas shena o achila he should sit al gabe mita kvuya, but kol yom is yoshev al gabe karka, and that's the menachem in yoshvini mo al gabe karka. The Tur writes, and he quotes the makar of it is from the fact that the Gemara says Amar Rabbi Dom Rabbi nine level shena rashi leishev al gabe mita al gabe aretz d'chsev yoshvi yitol la aretz. So you see that the avel v'yeshu toe, and everyone else sits with him ba'aretz. That's not our minhag anymore. The avel sits not on a high chair, on a lower chair, and everyone else sits on a normal chair. We assume that it's only covered the avel, and he's mochel that covered. Ulmotzai Shabbos al pi shein leishev el yom echad chozer v'kofe. And on Motzai Shabbos, even though he only has one day of shiva left, so you might think, why should he go through the hassle of putting the beds back upside down? No, he still has to do it. That one day of shiva still counts as the last day of shiva. A lot of times you have like that. When you have have a series of days. When it gets toward the end of the series, people think, oh, you could be more makel, it's almost over. No, but the full-fledged avelus, sometimes even out of the Shabbos like that, that people assume. When Friday night comes, so they wear their nicest clothing that they could possibly wear. Shabbos day, a little less, and by mincha, forget about it. They're not even thinking about a tie. That you can't possibly, but it doesn't really work that way. The Kedusha sort of builds up. So with avelus, it actually does wane, but not to the point where you could actually be makel on the halachos of avelus on the last day. You have another day of avelus, you got to observe the avelus properly. Sometimes, Rachman al Tzan, people are makel like this with Shiva Nekiyim. They think that, okay, she's going to the mikvah today anyway. So they could, the harchakos, they're not as careful about as it gets to the end of Shiva Nekiyim. They're post, and they have to address this, that shry about this. How could it, until she goes to the mikvah, she's absolutely tamea the same way she was on day one. Doesn't make a single bit of difference. Tanu Rabbanan, hakofa mitaso, lo mitaso b'varu kofa, kol mitaso yesho b'toch pesu kofa. When we do kfiyas hamita, it's not only the bed of the oval himself, it's all of the mitos in the house. The Ravid says that this is not a big chiddush. This is telling us that the other family members that we discussed earlier have to be knowing yimo avelus, so they are also kofa the mito, just like they're knowing shardine avelus in front of him. Is ishto banav are knowing avelus, because kolam misablin alav, misabali mo, the Gemara said on daf chav. So it's not a real chiddush over here. Anyone else in the house, you wouldn't have to be kofa the mito, if they had guests or anything like that. However, the Ramban and Rov Rishonim understand that it's not that way. That if it was mitas ishto banav, you wouldn't need a separate line in the Gemara to tell us that they're kofa mitasav. No, it's a din even in guest rooms, in throughout the house, that they do a kfiyas hamita. This is a din, as we pointed out before, as Rav Soloveitchik, I think, formulated it. It's not a din in the avel, it's a din in the base avel, that there are certain halachos of the base avel. The halach of Talmud Torah, there's Tzvei Dinim in Talmud Torah. The avel's not allowed to learn Torah, and you're not allowed to be Omer Shmua, the base avel, in a place that is a base avel. Kfiyas HaMitah is also a din in the base avel. V'afil yesh l'esher mitos b'asar mekamos kofa es kulan. Even if you have 10 beds in 10 places, you kofa all of them. V'afil l'chamisha achin u'meis echad kulan kofa. And even if there are 5 brothers and one of them died, they're all kofa. V'imhais ha-mitah m'yuchad But if you have a mita that's specifically, it's not used for people, it's only used to keep kelim on, that you don't have to do kfiyas hamita on. Dargish ain't tzarech l'chvoso. A dargish doesn't require kfiyas hamita. El zokfa, you can leave it upright. From Shimon Lielomer, dargish matir's karvitav v'unofel me'elav. He says you should undo the straps of the dargish, and then it will fall on its own, so you don't have to actually do kfiyas hamita, you don't have to flip it, but you just unstrap it, and it will fall on its own. Now that just begs the question, my dargesh. What is a dargesh that we're talking about that doesn't require or does require kfiyas hamita? What is it? So, Amar Ula, we're going to have two possibilities. First possibility is Ula, Arsa de Gada. It's an Arsa de Gada. What does that mean? Says Rashi, Mita shem yachdim osal l'mazal tov, ve'en mishtam shem baklum, el miyachdim osal lishos mazal tov aleha. Apparently they used to have one empty bed in the house that they just had as a skula, as a mazel, that this was a simon of bracha, I guess, that they had, that look, we even have extra, we have daiva hoser, we have enough room for everyone to sleep, and a little extra, so it's a way of showing that there's mazel, and they would have, all the mazel would go through that bed. That was apparently the practice. So the Gemara says, that's what a dargesh is. Amalei Rabba elamayata gabe melech ditnan, kola amasubim ala aretz vu mesav ala dargesh. By a melech it says that everyone else is on the ground and he sits on the dargesh when he's in avel. Mika midi dada in the lowest vini v'hashem usvinilei. He dafka sits as an avel on something that he never ever sat on before, that was never even used as a chair before. It was only a mitav mazel, and now pumped. Now that he's an avel, he's going to sit on it. Mas ravashi my koshia. Yeah, what's so difficult about that? Midi dava achilu v'shtia dada in the lochin v'loshkine hashlo chin v'loshkine. Up until he became an avel, we weren't giving him food and drink, but now we have a thing called Suda Savra, where he's not allowed to eat mishalo, he's not allowed to eat his own food, and we have to provide him with food and drink. Sure, a lot of things change when a person's an avel, and some of those things may even look like we're giving the person more respect as an avel than we do when he's not an avel, like giving him to eat and drink. So yeah, so he sits on this special dargesh when he's an avel, he didn't sit in it before. That's not a kasha on the definition, on Ula's definition of dargesh. Ela I kasha ha kasha. No, if you have a kasha on the Ula's definition, it should be the following. Dargesh enu tzorech l'chfoso el azokfo. It said that we don't have to be kofa dargish, we can keep it upright. But if it's the good luck bed, why don't we have to turn it upside down? Didn't we learn that kfiyas amita is a din in the base oval? It has nothing to do with whether the oval is using it or not. So if it's just a good luck bed that's never used, still you should have to be kofa the mita, because it's there, it's in the house, it's in the base oval. So my kasha, why is that difficult? Not every mita in the house do we have to turn upside down. A mita that's miyuchad only for kelim, that's never used by a person, you don't have to turn upside down. So dargish also, dargish is never used by a person. What's the whole point of kfiyas hamita? It's because Kodesh Baruch Hu says we've flipped over the tzelem elokim. When a person lies on the bed, that's the tzelem elokim. If it's a bed that's never sat on or lied on by a human being, so then it's not going to require kfiyas hamita. It doesn't fit the whole theme of kfiyas hamita. So that shouldn't be troubling. Ela I kasha ha kasha. If we have a problem with ula, our problem with ula is the following. Rav Shimon Gamliel Omer, dargish matir karvitav vu nofel me'elav. That the dargish, we just unstrap it and then it falls in on its own. But if it's the same bed like the rest of the beds in the house, it's just a good luck bed that no one ever uses, so what kind of straps? The regular beds don't have these straps that you can just untie and they'll fall in. So the description of a dargish seems to be that it's physically different, not just that the tashmish of it, the way we use it, is different than the other beds, but that it's physically a different type of bed, so a different type of kli. So what is this dargish? It cannot be as Ula had suggested. Now we happen to have mentioned that the Kohen Gadol's Mesev that the Melech is Mesev al Dargish. We said right, that was when we rejected the first rejection that it didn't make sense that Ada Idna he didn't do it and now he's going to do it. So the it sounds that even though an Avel is Chayiv and Kfiyas Amita, a Melech Avel apparently is Pater from Kfiyas Amita. But there's Machlokes Rishonim what the nature of that Patur is. The Rambam in the seventh parak of Hilchos Avel holds that a Melech is Chayiv and Kol Dinei Avelus. It's only kfiyas hamita that they pater him, and that's only lefnei ha'am mishum kavodo, that he shouldn't appear in such a way that he's sitting on an upside down bed in front of other people, because he still has to maintain the dignity of the office of being melech. But he still has all other dinim of avelus. It's not that a melech isn't noeg avelus; still noeg avelus. Other rishonim disagree, though. The Rimi Lunil and Masech Sanhedrin says that a melech is pater from kol dinei avelus. Kfiyas hamita is just an example, just like we had before when we said when do we do kfiyas hamita? We had a machlokas rishonim. Is kfiyas hamita just being used as an example, but it really means when do we begin avelus, or is kfiyas hamita somehow different? So you have a similar machlokas rishonim over here about the melech. When we say that the melech doesn't do kfiyas hamita, does that mean he doesn't do avelus at all, or is kfiyas hamita just an example, or is it something specific about kfiyas hamita? But back to the main topic of our gemara: what is a dargish that we're talking about over here, where we said that a dargish ain't tzarich lechvoser? Shmuel Gamliel says you have to unstrap it. So says the Gemara, second possibility. Kiasa Ravin, Amle Hura Banan, Rav Tachlifa Barma, Rava Shemei, Davashriach, Beshuka Digil Da'i, that one of the Rabbanan, Rav Tachlifa Barma, Rava, said since he used to be in the Shuk of the Gildai all the time, my Dargesh Arsa Ditzala. Dargesh means Arsa Ditzala. So it's a bed made out of leather. Itmar Nami Amrab Yermia Dargish Siruga Mitocho, that a dargish is made where you weave it from inside. Mita Siruga Al Gaba, whereas a mita, it's strapped around the post, not inside the post. Amrab Yaakov Barach Amrab Shoban Levi Halach Rab Shimon Gamliel, that we pass on Rab Shimon Gamliel, that you have to be Matias Karvitov, that you need to untie its straps, and then it will fall in. Amrab Yaakov Barach Amrab Asi Mita Shenaklita Yotzin Zokfa Vidayo. If you have a bed that has posts that stick out on top, then you can leave it upright, and that's enough. You don't have to flip it upside down, because it's not flippable. Meaning, if it has two posts, we have like this in Masechah Sukkah, the Gemara talks about beds like this. We're not talking about wide posts, just poles that stick up, one pole at one at the foot of the bed and one pole at the head of the bed, and they'd have a pole that runs across the top of the two poles, and then they'd put a cloth over it, so it made like a triangular tent over the bed as a way of protecting the person from bugs or anything else that would get into the bed. So with those poles, there's no way you could turn it upside down. It wouldn't be able to balance. The bed would just flip right over on its side. Tanurabanan, Yashna Gabi Kisa, Gabi Daini Gadola, Gabi Karka, Loyotsi de Chavasa. Person has to be on a Mita Kfuya. It's not enough to just go on a chair or on the floor or anything like that. Amar Rabbi Yochanan Shalokiyim, Kfiya Samita. One is only Mekayim Kfiya Samita if they're on a bed that's upside down. If you just say, okay, so I'm not going to lie down, I'm not going to go to sleep, or I'm going to go to sleep on the floor, that's not Kfiya Samita. Kfiya Samita is Davka, being on an upside down bed. Tanurabanan, Mechabdin Rabitin Besa Avil, we're allowed to sweep up and clean in a Beis Avel. Umadich and Karos, Akosos, Sochios, and Kitonios Beis Avel. We could do the dishes in a Beis Avel. Ve'ein Mavinas and Mugmar Vasabisam in a Beis Avel. We don't bring sweet smelling spices and besamim into a Beis Avel. It only says you don't say a bracha on Mugmar and Besam Beis Avel. That sounds like Bruchei Hidulam Mevarchin Hasuyim Esinan, that you don't say a bracha, but you are allowed to bring them into a Beis Avel. So it's a stira. Is it that you're not allowed to bring it at all into a Beis Avel, or that you're allowed to bring it, you just don't say a bracha? It says Maralo Kasha, Hab Beis Avel, Hab Beis HaMenachemin. It depends where we're talking, whether we're talking about Beis Avel or Beis HaMenachemin. What does that mean? Mukhe Yosef quotes two of what the Gemara is trying to say over here. First it says, maybe Beis Avel refers to before the burial, it's called the Beis Avel, then you're allowed to bring Mugmar and Besamim because there's a dead body there and it stinks. So you're allowed to bring Mugmar and Besamim in order to take away the foul odor of a dead body, but you don't make a bracha on it. You're an owner, you don't make a bracha on it when you have it in the Beis Avel, because a person's an owner, and even the other people wouldn't make a bracha on it, because one doesn't make a bracha on Besamim whose soul purpose is to remove a reach ra. If you have something that really is there to give a positive smell, so then we make a birchas hareach. That's a little known halacha that there is such a thing called the birchas hareach. It's not only at Havdalah that we make a bracha on a good smell. A person is supposed to make a birchas hareach on good, on nice smelling things all the time. It just happens to be that we're makbit to smell something by Havdalah, but really for the neshama yisera that leaves us. But really we're supposed to have for all the time. So that's a question that the post can discuss. Why don't we make a bracha every time we put on deodorant in the morning? And it's a nice smelling thing. So that many of the post can point out that synthetic smells that aren't from natural herbs, we wouldn't make a bracha. But also with deodorant, you have another reason, that its primary purpose is lahasir reach ra, like over here, and that's why they don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha when the purpose is to mask a foul odor or to rid oneself of a foul odor. It's only when it's to make a nice smell. But for perfumes and cologne and things like that, it's mostly the postcomer makel because of a synthetic smell. It's not natural herbs. That's how the Nemuka Yosef says that the Beis HaAvel refers to before the mace is taken out. Beis HaMenachemin is the Beis HaAvel after Kvura, when there are people that are being Menachem the Avel. And over there, you're not allowed to bring Besamim at all. Then Nemuka Yosef quotes, second way of understanding it, is that there was a bias for the Menachemin, even though the Avel was Shoah V'Yoshev Imam, nevertheless, you're allowed to bring Mugmar for all 7 days, because there are a lot of people that are going to be Menachem. It's not just the Avel's private house, there are all sorts of Menachemim all over the place. Beis HaAvel is when the Avel's alone. So when he's alone, there's no reason to bring Besamim there, because he doesn't need Besamim when he's in Avel. He's not supposed to be Nana from the Besamim when he's in Avel. But the Beis HaMenachem, where there's so many others that could be Nana from its alone, is going to make a brach on it, but at least they should be able to bring the Besamim. The Karen Ora is a totally different understanding of this line. Karen Ora says, a very Mechudishtik understanding, says that they don't bring anything. When it says Lo Mevarchim, the Gemara is saying, we made a bad deal. We made a deal that it said Lo Mevarchim, that sounds like, but they are Mevi and they do bring it. No, even to bring it to Beis HaMenachem, even if they brought it to Beis HaMenachem, to some other house, to the house of the neighbors who are going to be Menachem Avel, and the smell makes its way into the Beis HaAvel, still Ein Mevarchim Alav. That's what it means. Ein Mevin is not Ha Mevarchim Alav. No, Ein Mevin and Ein Mevarchim are the same. You don't bring it into the house. And if it comes into the house from somewhere else, the smell manages to make its way through the windows. Also, ein mevarchin alav. Okay, new Mishnah. Ein molichin lebeis avel lo betavel lo beskut lo beknon ele besalim. They don't bring food to a beis avel in fancy trays and big bowls and fancy baskets. They use normal wicker baskets, very simple baskets, to bring food to a beis avel. Veinom birch savelim b'moed, avalom de mishurim menachmen upodrin asarabim. You don't say birch savelim al chalamoed, but they do stand b'shura at the Beis Hakvaros and their Menachem, and they put in a Sarabim, and then everyone goes home. Ein manichin as amita baruchov shel lahargil as ahespid v'lo shel nashim li'olam ibnei kakavod. On Cholamoed, we don't put the mita in the town square because we don't want to increase hespedim. We don't want to have hespedim. And for women, even if it's not moed, we don't put the mita of nashim in a public place because of kavod. It's considered undignified for a woman to remain unburied any more than absolutely necessary. Tan Rabbanan, we have a brisa. Barisa's now this brisa in the series of brisas we're about to quote go through eight different halachos that changed because people were embarrassed by the way we used to practice them. So the minhagim changed in eight different situations. Number one, Barishano Yimalichan Bebesa Avalashirim Beklasa Shal Kesav Shal Zav Ani and Besalin Tzarm Shal Rav Klufa. It used to be that they would bring food to the Beis Avel for rich people in gold and silver kelim and for poor people in very simple wicker baskets. It was very embarrassing for the poor people because it drew attention to the fact that they were poor, that they were treated differently. So they made a takana that everyone has the same simple baskets. No one gets the gold and the silver baskets. It used to be that they would have clear glass and crystal that they would give the avel to drink in if the avel was rich, and if the avel was poor, they would have colorful glass. But the aniim were embarrassed. So everyone got to use the cheap stuff afterwards. Even the afshirim had to use the cheap stuff so as not to embarrass the aniim. But third, it used to be that they would expose the face of the deceased wealthy person, but they would cover the face of the ani because the ani's face was all blackened from all the years of hunger. But then the aniim were embarrassed by that they were treated differently. So they covered everybody's face for the covenant of the aniim. Number four, they used to take ashirim and aniim out on different types of coffins, different types of beds, and the aniim were embarrassed. Everyone got the cheaper bed because of the covenant of the aniim. Number five, it used to be that when someone had some sort of stomach ailment and was deceased, they would put some sort of mugmar, nice smelling incense, underneath him so that to mask the odor. And people who suffered from similar stomach ailments that were alive were embarrassed that look that they're going to be treated differently in their death because of what they suffer from. So they decided they're going to do the same for everybody, even people who are not chalim ayim, even people who don't have intestinal issues. They decided to use the mugmar. It doesn't hurt, so they might as well use the mugmar, and that way no one is going to be embarrassed. Sixth thing that changed. It used to be that when a woman was a nida and she died, they would be matbil all the kelim that she had recently come into contact with. They would tovel all the kelim, and the nidos that were alive were embarrassed that in their death they're going to be treated differently from everybody else. As Rashi says, sha'osin behen mashein osin l'shar mesos, that something is going to be different about their levaya than everybody else. So they were misakin that they would be matbil al gabe kol anashim for everybody, so that for the sake of the honor of nidos chayos, for the sensitivity that a woman shouldn't be embarrassed when she's a nida. Who knows that she's a nida? Why would she be embarrassed? So it used to be in the times of the Gemara, everyone knew when a woman was a nida. Certainly when they're still knowing tuma v'tara, everyone had to know when she was a nida because they had to wear big day nidos, and everyone would have to know that if you want to go into the base of Mikdash or you want your Kalim to handle truma or anything, you have to keep them away from her. So it was a more of a public thing. So when you're at a levaya and they're doing something to the niftar or the niftares because she was a nida, they're doing something to all of her kalim, and everyone's looking at the person who's also a nida. So then it was a very embarrassing thing, and they had to change it. And the same is true with the zav. It used to be that they'd be matbil all the kalim of a zav who had died. And the zav who were still alive were embarrassed by that. So they were misakein to be matbil for the kelim of everybody for the honor of the zavin who were still alive. And then the eighth and final thing that they changed, it got to the point where the cost of a funeral was so great that it was more difficult to deal with the cost of the funeral than to deal with the actual loss of the relative. It's, I don't know if that's literal, but it's certainly it felt that way at some points, apparently. To the point that people would just leave the dead body there, leave it unclaimed, and just run away to a different town because they knew that they had no chance of being able to pay for a levaya. So Gamliel left in his tzava that he wanted when he died, that viyotza b'klei pishtan, that his tachrichin would be made out of the simplest flax, out of klei pishtan, v'nagu am achrav latzis b'klei pishtan. And everyone did like him, because they said, who's going to be better than Rav Gamliel? Rav Gamliel has simple klei pishtan, so everyone else is going to have simple klei pishtan, and the cost of the funeral went way down, and that solved the problem. Then the krovim properly took care of their mesim. Amrav Papa Ve'ino No Galma Afilu Betzar De Barzuza. Nowadays, even klei pishtan is too elaborate and too expensive for what we do. Nowadays, they use something that costs a zuz, anything that you could buy for a zuz, the cheapest cloth possible. We don't go expensive at all when it comes to the tachrichim. When it comes to even the coffin that we use in the secular world, it's a big thing to spend a lot of money on fancy coffins of mahogany or whatever. That's not it's not our thing. The simplest pine box that doesn't cost a lot of money. The funeral is not meant to be an expensive affair. The funeral is meant to be a proper kavod, but not an expensive affair. Ein manichnas hamita berachov. We also mentioned in the Mishnah, we don't leave the mita out in the rechov on Chol HaMoed, and for women, we never do it. Amar Rav Papa, ein moed b'fnei Talmud Chacham, v'kol shkein chanukah u'purim. When it comes to a Talmud Chacham, even though normally you're not allowed to be maspid on moed, but for a Talmud Chacham, you're allowed to be maspid on moed, and certainly chanukah and purim. But that's only if the mace is there. If the mace is not there, we're not allowed to be maspid even a Talmud Chacham on Moed. Rav Kana was maspid Rav Zvid from Nardah to Pumnahara, meaning even though they were nowhere near where the mace was, he still was maspid him on Chol HaMoed. Amar Rav Papi, Yom Shmua Hava Ukebefan of Dami. It was the day where they first learned about his death, and therefore it's like he was there. Amar Ula Hespid Alev Dichsev Al Shadayim Sobdim Tipuach Biyad Kilus Beregel. There are different things that we do. There's banging on the chest, there's clapping the hands, or stamping the feet, all these things that they used to do as a sign of mourning. So each one is called by a different. Hespid is the banging on the chest, Tipuach is Biyad, is the clapping of the hands, and Kilus is the stamping of the feet. Tan Rabbana Makalis Lo Yikalis Besandal Al Beminol Mepnei Sakana. But you don't do that with the sandal, you only do it with the regular shoe because of a sakana. The sandal could flip and a person could break his leg, so it was apparently dangerous to do the stamping with a sandal, so we only do it with a minnow. There is a machlokas aposkim whether we're knowing avelus on Chanukah and Purim. We said over here that the hespid for Talmud Chacham could be done even on Moed and Kol Shkein on Chanukah and Purim. The Rambam in the 11th paragraph of Chazavel and the Ritva hold that we're knowing avelus on Chanukah and Purim, they're not considered like regalim at all. Only Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, which are moadim of the Torah, are mevatel the avelus, because all the Moados are Hukshu Zelazeh, they're all Mafsik and in Olam. But Chanukah and Purim are only Drabbanan, so Novel is Noe Gaveluso on Chanukah and Purim, even Bedavar Shebefarhesya, and even from Yom Sheni and on. The Rush quotes from Sefer HaMikzos that if someone's Mace Lamace, it's also the Haspid and to be Noe Gavelus on Purim, because the Navi tells, the Megillah tells us, Simchu Mishtav Yom Tov. So if Purim falls out during Shiva, Batlim Menu Gzera Shiva, this sheet holds that Purim is considered to be like the Regalim. The Shulchan Aruch obviously passes like the Rambam that all Dine Avelis are Noeg on Chanukah and Purim, but the Rambam writes that Yesh Omrim that Ein Avelis Noeg, but Purim lo be Yudal velo betes Vav, Vechein Noagim, that not to be Noeg, it's not Mafsik the Avelis, and Dvarm Shebetzin are Noeg even on Purim, but we don't have normal Avelis on Purim. So when a person sits Shiva on Purim, they sit on a high chair, they don't sit on a low chair, because you can't have Dvarm Shebefarhesya being Noeg on Purim. Okay, Bez Hashem, we'll pick up from the middle of Chav Zayin and Beis tomorrow.